This is one of those days where you'd like to be somewhere warm and fishing, right? Wouldn't you like to be fishing somewhere? Yeah. I'm going to be telling some fishing stories today from the Gospel of Luke. Hi, folks. Good morning. No, you're fine. Good to see you. Glad you're here. Yeah. I don't know, does she go to children's church? You want to go to children's church, sweetie? You can go. You know where to go? Oh, yeah, Ruth will tell you. There you go. Thanks, Ruth. Good, yeah. Did they kick you out of children's church? She tried, but there's no more important idea for us than the idea of becoming or being a disciple of Jesus. And in the Gospels, one of the things that you see is the calling. What happened to you? Stop that. You see the call and the bringing about of the first disciples. The first disciples of Jesus. And that's what that's what Luke chapter 5 tells us. It's about how Jesus gathered his first disciples. And in that calling, in that gathering of that first group, hopefully we find some of our own story in there. Hopefully we find, you say, yeah, that's you know, something like that happened to me, or that's where I've been, or that's where I am, right? So we're going to tell this really cool story about Jesus teaching on a lake. And again, that's where I like to go in the summertime, to a lake, you know. And so at this time of year, at least I can look at a picture of a lake and say, oh yeah, that's what it's like to be warm. And yeah. So one day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret with people crowding around him and listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by fishermen, and they were washing their nets. So he got into one of the boats belonging to Simon, and he asked him to push out a little way from the shore. And he sat down and he taught the people from the boat. So the first thing that happens for discipleship, the first engagement, is hearing the word of God. And see, you have here, he says that he was, you know, teaching the word of God. People were listening to the word of God, and he taught people, you know, sitting on a boat. Now that actually does sound like fun, doesn't it? You know, y'all sitting on a beach, I'm in a boat. Oh yeah, come on, let's go there. All right. But what's really important for us to realize is Jesus is teaching people what? The word of God. He's teaching them, you know, the things about the kingdom of God. If we know the Gospels well enough to know some of the things he might have been talking about, like kingdom qualities, what it means to be a person of God, what it means not to be a Pharisee. In other words, he told them in, you know, Matthew 5, for example, you know, the Pharisees, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the Pharisees, you won't even see the kingdom of heaven. And he goes on to talk about the idea of, you know, the deep work of God in our hearts. It's not something that you do for show. It's not something that you do, you know, like coming to church is a nice thing. But really, if there's not something deeper going on inside of us, if there's not a change in our heart and a change in our mind, we're not really going to be kingdom people, are we? Right? So Jesus was teaching them. He was telling them about, you know, the wonderful things of God. One of his primary messages is that the kingdom of God is near. The kingdom of God is at hand. Matthew characterizes his ministry like that. He says Jesus, you know, went through all the towns and villages proclaiming the kingdom of God, the good news of the kingdom, and healing people as he went, right? And so part of the message of Jesus is that, you know, the world around us, we know it's not always the nicest place. We know it's not always the kindest place. We know sometimes it's not always the righteous place or the just place that we would hope for. That we see a lot of problems in the world. We see a lot of sin in the world, a lot of you know, weakness in the world. And it seems like something like God, who is so holy and so righteous and so awesome, that he's like really far away from us. Like it's almost impossible to think of being able to be absolutely right and to be able to be close with God. And part of Jesus' message is the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's right within your reach. That, you know, again, we know now that all you have to do is believe in Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God is yours. He maybe told them some parables about the kingdom being like a pearl of great price or a treasure found in a field, and that when you find it and you realize how awesome and great it is, that you you want that treasure. Right? So the first thing that, you know, happens to disciples hear the word of God. I mean, I believe that there's no way that anyone comes to Christ apart from hearing the message of Christ. Who is he? What did he do? What has God done? What has God planned for us? All those things are wrapped up in that teaching. Can you imagine what it would be like, though, to be listening to the author of the Word of God, expounding perfectly on the Word of God? I mean, we try, we do our best, we work at it, but, you know, there's not a Sunday that goes by that I don't think, you know, I could have said that, or maybe I, you know, off on that a little bit. And of course, with Jesus, every word that was coming out of his mouth was perfect, absolute perfect Word of God. And Peter and the guys around them and the people on the beach, they're all listening to that perfect, wonderful Word of God. So the first thing is we have to hear what Jesus said. We have to hear what, you know, he wants us to be and what God's plan is for us. The second thing was kind of an interesting little thing. He finished speaking to the people and he said to Simon, "Now put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." And Simon said, "You know, Master, we worked hard all night. We haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I'll let down the nets." So, you know, here it is. You know, Peter is a fisherman. He's grown up. If you go, you know, to the Holy Land, you go to where, you know, the Sea of Galilee, and there's this little ruin of a town, and they've actually built a spaceship over what they think is Peter's house. You can stand on the floor and look down and see, you know, the ruins of this house, right? But Peter lived on the water and he fished all the time. And you know, fishermen know. If you don't get up at 6 in the morning and go out, forget it, you know. That's why I'm not a great fisherman. I go up to the lake and I wake up at about 10 o'clock, get my cup of coffee, go out on the water and watch everybody else go home. But, you know, I just throw in the thing out there and, you know. Fishermen know when to fish. They know when the fish are biting and when they're not biting. And he said, "Well, we were out there. We know there's nothing happening today. Sometimes fish just don't eat. Sometimes they just aren't around to be caught." But Jesus said, you know, "Peter, go out there in the deep water and throw down your net." And Peter tells him, "You know, man, I'm a fisherman. I know they're not biting. We've been at this all day. We could tell. But because you say so." And that's a very important statement. "Because you say so." In other words, while he was listening to the teachings of Jesus, while he was listening to everything that Jesus had to say, there was something in Peter that said, "I want to listen to this fellow. And anything he asks me, no matter how small it is, no matter how small it is, I want to do it." And so he says, "Because you said so, I'll do it." I was trying to think of, you know, where in my life this actually comes up, where, you know, when I first was hearing Christ and I first was listening and believing in Christ, that, you know, I actually followed through on some little act of obedience. And when I came to Christ, I was a hippie. You've seen pictures of them, you know. Back in those old things about the 70s and stuff, I had hair down to my shoulders, and you know, I was a hippie. And you know, there's nothing wrong with long hair. I've got some really cool, good Christian friends that have long hair. But for me, that long hair was a symbol of rebellion. The long hair was a symbol and a sign of me being, you know, a hippie and being kind of in rebellion against my parents, rebellion against society, and really rebellion against God. And the night after I received Christ as my Savior, I was praying, you know, and I just kind of got this little glimpse of a head with the hair cut off, you know. Yeah, and I knew exactly what it was. The Holy Spirit was telling me, "Go get a haircut." Now that sounds so ridiculous, doesn't it? It sounds like, you know, what, you know, and actually I went to the barber shop and I'm getting the hair, you know, and again, I got the long locks and this girl's like, you know, she says, what are you going on a job interview? I said, no, I became a Christian. She said, well, what's that got to do with long hair? And I told her, I said, well, God told me to cut my hair, you know. Now, and again, it sounds silly. It sounds silly, but it was a small act of obedience to a simple request. It was a small act of obedience. You know, I know that sometimes people have things that they hold on to in their lives, and you know, the Lord will kind of say, hey, you need to drop that. And I got to tell you that dropping that might be the best thing you could do just to show the Lord, I'm willing to obey. I'm willing to follow. I'm willing to listen to you. I'm willing to be your servant, your person. And that's what Peter was doing. You know, it's like, you know, Lord, I know there's no fish out here, but you said it, so I'm going to do it. And so he goes out to the deep water and puts the nets out, right? So the second thing, you know, first is we hear the word of God. Second thing is we have a small step of faith. A small step of obedience, or something that God has told us we need to change, or something God has told us we need to do, we say, yes, Lord, I will do it. Not because it makes sense, but because you asked, okay? All right, so then, of course, this is the, you know, when they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signal their partners in the other boats to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. And Simon Peter saw this and he fell at Jesus' knees and he said, go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man. For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. So here it is. I mean, again, this is so cool. Because what did Jesus do? I mean, just the way Jesus being incarnate, he entered our world, right? He became one of us. He became like us. And here, he's entering into Peter's world. Peter's world was a world of nets. His world was a world of boats. His world was a world of fish. And you know, Peter knew there's no fish out there to be had. There's no way that, you know, we're going to cast these nets and bring in fish. But because Jesus said so, okay, we'll drop the nets. And then when they started hauling in the nets and the water was teeming with fish, there's an excitement that takes place. Right, fellas? Well, I'm sure there's some ladies here that know the excitement. You know, you cast out your line and you reel it in for the 50th time that day. And then all of a sudden, tong. Dong, boom, wham, and you got something, and the pole bends down. There's an excitement. Well, imagine Peter's excitement and all the, you know, James and John, the guys in the boat. There's an excitement about fish, and when they start pulling those nets in, the water teems and bubbles with the splashing of the fish, and they realize, wow, this is like, we've never caught this many fish. And they say, hey, get over here, help us out. And they're bringing in the boats, and they're filling up the boats, and the boats are full. And they start to, you know, get down to the water line, you know. But all of a sudden it dawns on Peter. It dawns on Peter. This Jesus, this teacher, is not just a teacher. This is not just a rabbi. He realizes that Jesus is something much more than that. You know, that's the thing I hope for every one of us. Because I think the depth of discipleship really, really entails knowing who the Lord is, believing in Him. Sometimes, you know, the word belief, people use it like, I believe so, in the sense of, I'm not really sure, but I think so. That's not what belief is in Scripture. Belief is not, well, I hope everything Jesus said is true, or I hope that Jesus really can raise the dead, or I hope there really is a kingdom. I'm not sure. That's not what it is. And here, Peter, when Jesus breaks into Peter's world, when Jesus sits in Peter's boat and he causes all those fish to come into his little, you know, world, he all of a sudden he realizes this is not a rabbi. This is not just a teacher. This is a holy, holy person. And of course, later he would recognize this is Lord God. There is no one who calls up fish from an empty lake and fills up two boats except for the Lord. And so he bows down on his knees. He goes down and he says, Lord, I am a sinful man. Please go away from me. It's kind of a recognition. You know, it's like when Isaiah met the Lord in Isaiah 6. You know, he says, woe unto me, I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. One of the things that happens when you encounter God, when you encounter a real encounter with Jesus Christ, is you realize how weak you are. You realize how much you need help. You realize how wrong you are. And Almighty God, please reach into my life and help me, we would say. I can remember the day that I knew that Jesus was real. I mean, I believed in Jesus in that other way my entire life. I thought that He was real. I thought His words were true. I thought His Bible was good. But one day, Jesus Christ came into my world. He came into my life. He came into my heart in such a way that I absolutely knew without a doubt that Jesus Christ is God, that Jesus Christ is Lord, and that there's no one like Him, and there's no other name to call upon, and there's no other place to get help, and there's no other place to get grace and forgiveness except for in that name of Jesus. I pray that that's happened to you. I pray as God's disciples that you know for certainty who Jesus is. And I tell you this, if you're not sure, if you don't know, I really believe that if you ask to know, He will let you know. That if you want to know who Jesus is, He will show Himself to you. He's not trying to hide. He's not trying to play games with those who really seek Him. But it's so important for disciples to know who Jesus is. So Peter knows now. Peter sees, and he says it. He says, Lord, I can't be with you. You are God. You are holy. You are righteous. You are so different from me. I can't be with you. Please go away. And Peter doesn't get, okay, that's right, Peter. You stink. Get away from me, you fishmonger. You know. He doesn't do that, does he? All the companions, everybody was astonished. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, don't be afraid. You know, when you meet Jesus, He doesn't fill your heart with fear. There's another one that does. There's another one that fills your heart with fear and dread and doubt and shame and guilt. And His name is the devil. There's another one that fills you with all that. Jesus doesn't do that. Jesus says, don't be afraid, Simon. Don't be afraid, Simon. Don't be. In other words, there's grace in Jesus. When you know Jesus and you meet Jesus and you know who He is, Jesus says, I love you. Jesus says, I forgive you. Jesus says, I knew you before you were born, and you belong to me. Jesus is filled with grace, filled with love, filled with joy, filled with peace. Those beautiful things that flow from our Lord, they're there for every one of us that calls on His name, every one of us that knows Him. We know that about Him. And we don't abuse that, but we know that about Him. And He says, now I'm going to change your life, Peter. So here it is. We start by hearing the Word of God. We start with little steps of obedience. We also must know who the Lord is. We must know He is holy. He is not a man that He will put up with what men put up with. He is not a liar. He is not a cheat. He is not a human being to let sin slide. He is righteous. He is holy. He is God. But He is filled with grace. Everyone that will come to him and say, Lord, depart from me, because I am an unclean man of unclean lips. Depart from me, for I am a sinner, Lord. Help me, please, right? He will say, don't be afraid. He'll fill you with grace and peace and love. He'll tell you, I'm with you and you're with me, right? So there's that relationship, that faith in Christ, and the relationship of grace that comes out of that, right? And then they pulled their boats to shore and they left everything and they followed Jesus. They left everything and followed Jesus. So what do? We heard the word of the Lord. We believe what Jesus said. Believe what he said? You believe the word of the Lord? You believe the words of Jesus? I do. That's what makes us disciples, is believing. We obey. We obey what he asks. There's all that in the scripture. He says, you know, how are you going to show me you love me? You're going to keep my commands. But then there's little things, like I said, there's little things that he just says to you, little things that he's told you to do. And when you do it, when you obey, you're just saying, yes, I believe. Right? Obey what he asks. Believe in who he is. Believe in who he is. He is unique. He is different. He is Almighty God. And he is a Savior. And he is filled with grace and forgiveness and power, and he will empower us to be the children of God. He is the Messiah. He is the Savior. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He does have the power to give us resurrection, and he does have the power to give us eternal life. He has the power. He is who he says he is. We believe it. We know it. And so we live like it. We live like it. For Peter, it meant just, you know, I'm done. I'm not a fisherman anymore. I'm the apostle. And he went with that's a real abbreviated story, but he went with Jesus. Some of us, that's how it happens. Some of us, we do. You know, I was a donut baker. Yeah, I miss those days. But God called me to a different life, a different vocation. Some people, it's not a different life. It's a different way of life, different way of thinking, different way of being. It's being different because Christ is your Savior. So you believe in what he said. You believe in who he is, full of grace and forgiveness and power, and then you live your life as a life of faith in Jesus Christ. That's what a disciple is. That's how Peter began, and he was carried through his entire life with that. We too should be carried through our entire lives with a deep faith in Jesus Christ and a life that says, yes, I believe. I believe. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let me pray with you and with for me and you together. Father, we are so pleased to know our Lord Jesus Christ, to know his great power. Indeed, he is awesome. He is powerful. There's no power on earth like his power. And Lord, yet he is gracious. Being holy, he makes us holy. Being righteous, he gives us righteousness. Being filled with mercy, he gives us mercy. So help us, Almighty God, to bow at the feet of our Lord Jesus Christ and to just acknowledge, Lord, we are not worthy of you, but thank you. Thank you for these great and awesome gifts that you give us. Now, Lord, help us to live a life of faith. Help us to live as those who know you and believe in you. Help us to walk with you. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Help us, Father. Amen.